So I find it interesting that throughout the check-in this morning, twice the doctrine of correspondence came up, actually those terms. And we were looking at the metaphors and the symbols of what people were checking in with. And I just want to say that when we do the ritual of forgiveness, it's to not look at it as Lisa so beautifully said yesterday, it's a once and done, I'm going to do this ritual for forgiveness, and I'm going to be done, right? It's like, no, it's a process. And as you do it, what we're moving is, do you remember Ramon asked me, should we be thinking of who we want to forgive? And I said, no, because the point of the ritual, remember we talked about the difference between a ritual and a ceremony. A ceremony is something we do out here. Ritual is internal. So the power of the ritual is in what is below your conscious mind. And the way the ritual is structured is to allow what's down there to come up and just let what's ready to be forgiven come up. You don't have to go digging deep to find stuff. That's not the point. The point is to just be there and let something come up. See what comes up. And in the beginning, nothing's going to come up. You're going to be standing going, okay, she said something's going to come up. I'm just standing here saying these words. There's nothing going on. What the F, right? Am I not doing this right? No, you just keep doing it. You just keep doing it. And eventually something comes up. But what comes up may actually be a memory. It may be a person or it may be a symbol. It's like Agnieszka just brought up, you know, the cat. The cat in their dream is a symbol. So this is why it's important to have your journal or something nearby so that when we're ready to stop and actually just jot a few things down, you've got a way to just kind of write them down and remember these symbols. And we go back later and figure out what it's about. Is that making sense? So what I want to stress is what I love about this ritual is it's gentle in that it goes at your pace. It's what you're ready for. It's not like you walked into your therapist's office and your therapist said, okay, now we got to work on you forgiving your father because of blah, blah, blah. It's like, if you're in a place of like, fuck that asshole, I'm never speaking to him again, that motherfucker. Right? If you're living in that land, it's like, okay, we're not going there. But what comes up? What comes up is what you're ready to work on, and that's what you work on. And the important thing about it is not that you actually forgive. Hear me really clearly. What's important is that you're willing. You're willing to say, I don't want to carry this anymore. I just don't want to carry it. And so you're saying to your subconscious, show me what I'm carrying. I mean, there's some things you obviously know you're carrying, but there's other things you don't know you're carrying them. You think you're walking around just fine in your life and you're okay and everything's fine. But there's stuff in there. There's stuff in there. And what I love about this ritual is that it just take it at your pace. Let it show you what's there and be willing. And then just like Kathleen learned, right? She was exhausted. I'm surprised all of you weren't exhausted. I really felt kind of bad after class because it was like, holy shit. I would never have voluntarily left you there. I would have wanted us to, you know, kind of wrap it up somehow, but we really left you in a really vulnerable place, which in its own way is a credit to all of you that we even went there, that we go there in these classes. So what you get to do is just allow it to come up, trust it, trust that inner part of you that knows when you're ready to work on something. If you're not ready to work on something, don't work on it. If it's too scary, stop. If it's too painful, stop. The more you do this, the better you're going to get at being able to be stable and still move through fear, to be stable and still move through hurt and pain. But it's a skill we're developing. We're developing it. And the wisdom for you, this is why from the very beginning, what's it about? It's about authentic. From the get-go, this class for you is about you showing up authentically for you without apology, without excuse, without shame. Just show up. Because then it's your inner teacher finds you. That's what allows your inner teacher to finally find you and you can listen. Does this dismiss, give you a little, okay, so we're going to, this isn't going to be, we're not going in and doing deep gut surgery. Now, something may come up. So we're going to have time to process afterwards. We will process afterwards, right? But it's gentle. It's not a thing. And a couple more things I want to say about this before we do the ritual, because once we do it, I want to kind of spend the rest of the class just processing. Is that I am going to ask you to eventually memorize this. This is a technique to be memorized. I don't think there are many of these in this class, but this is one. Because for it to become your tool, you need to know it. And it's a tool that you use. I mean, I do it at the equinox. I just sent out a newsletter this morning. You know, this is part of my maintenance of my practice. It's just like, I just go in there and I see. And it shows me what's still lingering in there that's to be cleared out. And there's this woman. Oh man, I've talked about her before, man. She's a snake in my life. She just brought me down. Public humiliation. It was like, man, this is like 1998. I hated this woman. Hated this woman. It was pure mean. You know, the jealousy kind of mean that just gets in there and doesn't think. And it's like, I'm bringing this woman down and I'm going to bring her down. And she brought me down. Publicly. And it was a long time. It was over a decade of me doing this, where it would come up and it was like, it would be strong. The year came where it came up and it was, instead of like right here, it was here. And then it was further. In other words, the pull. You know, that cord, that Aka cord I talked about, it wasn't this big anymore. It was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And recently I realized she comes up out of habit. Because when you spend 20 years working on forgiving somebody, you start the ritual and she comes up out of habit. And I realized there was nothing there. It was purely habit. And part of the process, part of this process is, at first we're forgiving the other person, listen carefully, other person, trying to understand the whole picture. I probably would have done the same thing, all of this stuff, understanding her, what motivation, all this stuff. And then the day comes where I go, oh, that was my part in it. And I forgive me. Ultimately, it's about forgiving ourselves. And here's the conundrum. This is the paradox of it. And I don't know any way around it. If you find a way around it, let me know. But up till now, I have not found anybody who can get a way around it. Until you can forgive other people, you can't forgive yourself. It doesn't go the other way. It's like we have to forgive the other people before we can forgive ourselves. It's, I'm telling you, I wanted to go the other way. I would much rather forgive me. But it's in my life so far, I have not found that to be true. And I haven't met anybody for whom self-forgiveness was truly, truly experienced until they had learned how to forgive others. And so, are you with me? I mean, this is why it's so important. Because ultimately, I don't give a rip whether you forgive anybody else. I really don't care. I really don't care. But you know what I care about? I care that you can forgive you. I want you to be your best friend, your best advocate, your best support. I want you to stop judging you. And every time you throw a judgment out to somebody else, I know that it's ricocheting back. And somewhere in you, you are judging yourself for that same thing. And that's what breaks my heart. That's what I want. I want each one of you. I want you to be your best, best love, support. Make sense? Are you with me? Am I communicating how important this is? These other people are just there to get you, to treat you how to forgive. Not to forgive them, but so you can turn around and forgive you. Because I guarantee you, once you've forgiven you, your life changes. Your life changes. This is why this whole thing, this fall, may I be free from suffering. May I be free from suffering. It's about you. It's about you. It's about you. It's about you. I know. I know. It's like, fuck, really? Because we really don't want to forgive the other people. I'm hear you. I hear you. It's like that tightness in your gut, right? That tightness in there. And let's be really clear. And I thought Lisa made a really good point yesterday. You know, just because we're forgiving doesn't mean what they did wasn't unkind. Doesn't mean they're not a predator. Doesn't mean they're perfect because we've forgiven them. No, it just means they are all those things. And now we can look at it without any kind of judgment. But we can just go, that woman is a snake. And I don't want to walk near a snake that's going to bite me. So I'm going to stay away. Until I can learn how to be a snake charmer, which I haven't learned yet. That person is a koala. They look really cute and cuddly till you get near them and then they scratch the fuck out of you. It's like, okay. All right. You know, I mean, it's data. It's not a moral judgment. This is the key piece. We can see things as they are without judgment. Without putting a moral right, wrong on it. That's a lot of talk. I've said the same thing in three different ways. Are you with me? Any thoughts? What are your thoughts on this? I'm sure it's not new. It's just hopefully going in at a different, in a different way. Maybe.
This is, I think, a little bit where I was yesterday after you left us with, when you get to that, this is where I am with the work. I'm not saying that that I don't have more work. I'm not saying that. I'm just, when you come to that realization that there's nothing else to do or whatever, what are you supposed to do now? I don't know if I'm making sense.
Well, you're making a lot of sense. keep going. See if you...
So it don't know. It just like, there's nothing left to do. You know, And right. So what's it all for? What am I supposed to do every day or get up? You know what I mean? It was just this sort of like, I think that's where I was feeling like just so heavy about it yesterday. I hope that makes sense.
Kathleen, I want you to, over the weeks to come, really explore that. You actually touched on something really, really fundamental, but I would prefer to have you
unpack it
rather than me say it, because okay. It's there's so much there, and I just feel like this is one of those things that you will unpack it. You will just sit with it.
Okay.
And you'll go, oh, I get it. You know how when you say, oh, I get it, you're going to go, oh, I get it, you know, okay. And then you'll explain it to all of us. So.
Okay. Hopefully. Like I have all this going on in my head. I just trying to get it out to explain it to people. It's like, yeah.
Well, it makes total sense to me.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah. So. So. Somebody else, where are you at right now? Brenda, yeah.
Well, I'm actually going to just scoot out. I'm not very here. And I have texts coming that, you know, she's definitely in labored breathing transition right now. So
go.
I'm going to go. I will see you guys.
We'll hold you. Bye, my dear. Okay. All right. Give me just a moment. Okay. And I'm going to ask you to just take a moment with everything we've said. Just take a moment and in your heart, in your mind, in your being, hold a thought for Alice Bonk, not Bonk. What's Brenda's maiden name? I can't remember it right now. Alice, just hold an image of her moving up. You know, the waterfall, Mount Meadow waterfall. Have an image of her moving up through the waterfall into light, moving up into light, into grace, into light, into grace. And let's all hold the mental, repeat the mantra, Alice, remember your past good deeds, and say it over and over. Alice, remember your past good deeds. And then let's just surround Brenda and her brother as they show up as the sacred witness for this moment in her mom's journey. And then here's what we do. We let a portion of us, we just imagine, it's like we've just, How do I say this? What is the metaphor? It's like you imagine that you've dedicated a part of your grace, and it's like you're placing it with Alice, and it will be there. Some of you it might work to imagine that there's an angel that you designate and you say, okay, please go and be with Alice and Brenda and Mark for the next few hours as they do this. And it's like, that's how we can be a continual present for them, support them, and still come back to this moment in our lives. I hope that made sense. And so let's just, I tend to just leave an angel, believe it or not, that's actually what I do. And then I thank the angel. It's been given its job, and back we come into this moment. And we'll talk more about this when we come to the blessing for the departed, when we come to that part of the training. Okay, I don't want to get too sidetracked today, but you know, this is the kind of thing that we learn to do now, right? We're learning the forgiveness ritual. There's this little other little technique. We have these ways of supporting people and nurturing ourselves. And we're at a point in the program where there's all these little things. We're ready to have them come in. So everybody okay? Anything left that you'd like to share about the forgiveness piece? Everything I just said earlier. Let's just take a minute, see if we can come back to that. Kelsey, yeah.
I just wanted to say that the last thing that you were talking about with this forgiveness ritual of, I wrote it down, like, that person is a snake. I don't need to go close to the snake until I'm ready, and I might never be ready. Mm-hmm. But it's, I don't know, it just helps me understand it's not about right or wrong or saying that person was right or wrong. It's just about the forgiveness piece and understanding and moving on. And like that I can get behind. Yes. Yeah.
Good, good. As my teacher would say, the nature of a dog is to dog. The nature of a snake is to snake, mm-hmm. right? And we don't sit there to the take and say, oh, you bad snake. It's like a snake is a snake.
Right.
Right. And so for me, using animal analogies has always been really helpful. But yeah, thank you, Kelsey. Yeah. Cause it's that Rumi quote again. Out beyond right and wrong, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going. I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there. Somebody else? Thoughts?
A technical question for the ritual. Do you, if more than one person or situation comes up, how do you choose, or do you just do it for one person?
You just watch what comes up. And then we'll have a chance to write it down, and the ritual takes on its own. The same person may come up again and again, or come out and then somebody else shoves them out of the way, or three or four things come up and we just want to notice them. At this point in time, we just want to notice them. And then afterwards we kind of process a little. Does that make sense? Yeah. Anybody else? Anything to say on this? What I've said? Okay. I just have two more things before, and then we'll take a break, and then when we come back, we'll actually do the ritual together. Well, actually three more things. Is anybody in a space to do the it is what it is meditation? Who's got it is what it is? I don't have my list in front of me. Okay, April. Okay, April, you're not, are you? Okay.
Well, I mean, I haven't really practiced it. I kind of have the outline, but I haven't had a chance to practice it. So,
Have you done it? Yourself?
Kinda. Yeah.
I'm going to leave that one up to you. Everybody on this call knows what it's like to be at a wedding and dance on a table. Well, I don't know about dance on a table for your husband, but you know, you're just not quite there the next morning. And so we can give you a little pause there.
Okay.
Yeah. If you'll accept it, I'll offer it. Okay. So was anybody else who's here doing it is what it is? Okay, so one down, two more to go. I asked you to memorize this. I encourage you to memorize it because I do it at this time of year as a maintenance. I do it during the year when I need it. And there are times when something is really up and alive for you where you may be doing it every day. You all know Mary Beth. Mary Beth was at the retreat. Well, Kathleen, I think you've met Mary Beth at other of our classes. There's been times where she's every day. She just would do it every day, every day. And she would actually even add a burning bowl to it just to try and let go of some of the hurt and the resentments. And that's what we do. So it's a technique that we're starting right now because it's the time of year when I like to do it. But it's a technique that will be there for you for the rest of your life. And you'll know whether to do it more than once or whether just do it once. You'll know. But here's the thing I'm going to ask you. I gave you a really, really detailed description of the technique in the handout. And I'm going to ask you as a teacher not to share it with anyone until you have memorized it and you have it. Memorized it enough. You know, I mean, you may lead the ritual sometime for somebody and, you know, you'll go, which one do I start with? You know, and that's okay. But you don't, something like this is not something you just hand to somebody and say, oh, here, there's this really cool ritual. It won't work for them. It won't work for them. The power in the ritual is it coming from Kriyananda down and then to you and you doing it and sharing that blessing of it. Does that make sense? I've heard people do, there's a Buddhist version of this that is similar. It's similar. And I've heard people do it and it's got no power. There's no power behind it, you know? So this is part of your trust as part of this class as a teacher is to make sure you share it only when it's you've get it, right? And of course, obviously if it's a technique that doesn't work for you, then don't even worry about it, you know? Yeah? Okay. So the third thing is, before we break, how did it go when I asked you, what did you encounter when I asked you to look into possibly rewriting the story, rewriting the narrative? What was that? What did you discover? Yeah, April.
So this was a really simplified well, I don't know if it was simplified. It was, as I had mentioned yesterday, you know, I was going to this wedding where I was going to see this person. And, just on what we talked about yesterday, like just the drive down to Salem, there was so much processing. It was like a lot of, I don't know. I mean, I was able to share with Jeremy and he has similar, you know, feelings as me, but that the idea that this is, would I have done the same thing in that situation? You know, take myself out of my story and look at it from a different perspective, like truly in my heart, like try to release my story. And look at it from a different perspective. And also that the kind of listening to some of your stories that you were telling yesterday, like maybe he doesn't look, you know, view what happened at all. Like he doesn't even have the same recollection of what happened. And so I've been holding on to this resentment for so long when it's, like, I came to a point where I thought, well, he doesn't have that much power over me. Like, it was very interesting to just the drive down there. It was like an hour of like talking about all, and it was just like lights kind of going off, you know, like this opening up of, oh, what if I could reframe this? And so we got there and he showed up with his wife, and he and his wife just kept looking at me. I kept noticing through the whole thing. And finally, at one point, I approached him and just said, hi, how are you? And Jeremy shook his hand, and it was like we both felt, both of Jeremy and I felt like, oh my God, that was so much easier than we had been building up all of this stuff. And I don't know, there was a shift for sure. Yeah, wow. There was a shift. And on the drive home last night, we both had the same experience of, we kind of wish we would have engaged him a little bit more in conversation so that we could fully resolve it. Almost like say to come away with a new story, with a new framework. And we didn't have that opportunity, or we didn't take it. And so it didn't, that's okay. But the fact that we kind of wanted that, we wanted to like step into that vulnerable place and see what would come of it. So it was a pretty interesting opportunity to, and I kept saying that to myself, like, can I rewrite the story? Can I redo this? And it worked. So, yeah.
Nice.
I think that's where my issue or my conclusion came yesterday, Karen, is trying to rewrite a story. I can't rewrite a story because there's, if it's all, again, I'm just unpacking this. If it's all there, there's nothing to forgive because we're all doing the best we can. We're all here for our own experiences and we can't judge anybody. I mean, that's where I was like, that's where my perplexion is. Yeah. That's, I'm like, okay. Wait, all right. So.
No, and that moment, Kathleen, that's a real moment where you suddenly go, well then, what's the drama about? What's it all about? Right. It's like, you know, at that point you just learn, I need to stay away from snakes because I don't know how to charm them. I need to not put my face near a koala's claws, right? And I need, you know, and you just, it's like the ground in its own way has just, the underpinnings of everything we thought just dropped away.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's a real thing. It's a real thing. Yeah. Lisa.
Okay. So I guess I need you to just touch on. So when somebody lived through the mess of what was left and the pain and the suffering that still continues, mm-hmm. and the patterning that appears to be again up in, do you try to talk to this person, you know, and their other plane? I get the simpler things, of not being able to, you know, maybe they didn't, I have to visualize such darkness, like as something I can't comprehend or understand how bad it must have felt to just want to get out of it. So I guess I feel like I just need, because, you know, surrounding it and maybe my piece is I forgive the people that told us, well, that was just the ultimate middle finger to you guys. 'Cause maybe I start there. Because to believe
somebody
it was.
Somebody told you that? Really?
Lots of people told us that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Do you mind letting other people know what you're talking about so they, I mean, I know what you're talking about, but.
Yeah. Well, my brother-in-law, committed suicide. He, just before he turned 30, my sister's husband. We had many people tell us, well, you know what that is, you know, so my sister came home and found him. Yeah. And they had, as much as we know, as much as she's ever been able to share, is they were arguing on the phone. So before, you know, and so we had many people tell us that.
Really?
Yeah.
Could they be wrong?
Well, maybe that's where I'm going to start, right?
Yeah, I'm going to sit here and tell you, Lisa, nobody ends their life unless it's inside them. That's a really easy way, surface way to interpret it. The ultimate fuck you. But the amount of confusion and pain that's in there to bring that to let's just assume it was a fuck you. Even if it was, the amount of confusion and pain for it to be that, he had to be in so much distress. And for people to, I'm going to use this word, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, if you disagree, but to me that trivializes it. And it puts the onus on your sister as opposed to on him, which is fucking cruel. It's just cruel. And so at those moments, those are the moments where we say, whoa, okay, these people don't know. They don't know. It's like the Dalai Lama said, let's pray for the Chinese. They don't realize what they're doing. Jesus said, let's, you know, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing, Lisa. People who said they don't know what they're doing.
Well, I guess in saying this out loud is that I kind of believed part of that.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
And because the four of us were such a tight unit, Josh and I and Tara and Ron, for almost 10 years, it felt like they were saying not only to your sister, but to everybody close to, you know, him, he was, you know, doing this to all of us, which then, it makes us feel responsible.
And what do you know today? You are not responsible for anybody's actions or reactions. You don't have that much power. You don't. Now, does that mean that maybe there isn't some regret? Sure. My guru said a person who doesn't have regrets, it's a person who hasn't learned. Regrets are not a bad thing. Yeah, we can look back and have regrets and wish we'd done it different. But ultimately, it's called suicide because he took the action. Somebody else takes the action, it's called murder. It's suicide because he died by his own hand. There is nothing. Guys, we don't have this kind of power over people. Does anybody have the power? No. No, think that through, Lisa, because I can hear it, right? Wait a minute, Karen, there was that girl on Facebook who really, you know, just kept egging that kid on, and he ultimately committed suicide because she was egging him on. That's different. That was murder. And I think she got prosecuted for it. That's different. So let's be clear. And isn't there enough compassion to hold all of you, to hold everybody? Those who can't see any deeper than that, those who may be angry and hurt, and so you want to blame somebody else. There has to be a blame that has to go somewhere because it's so painful, as opposed to just maybe everybody was hurting. Everybody was hurting. What is going through your...
I guess, just the profound idea that I didn't cause this to happen.
You didn't cause this to happen. Tara didn't cause this to happen. Josh didn't cause this to happen. And when these things happen, everybody's sitting there thinking, if I just said this, if I just done that, oh my God, you know, that you would have had the power to change that. And we don't have, every one of us comes in as a karmic package. And we are responsible for our thoughts and our actions, our responses. And other people are responsible for theirs. It's just, and I can see why it's hard, because, right, you're responsible for everybody else's happiness, right? If your husband isn't happy, it's your fault. If your wife isn't happy, it's your fault. If your kids aren't happy, it's your fault. It's like, that's not true. It's not true. This is what we're learning. They may be responsible, make you feel good because they surprised you with a vacation to, you know, Belize for a week, right? But in terms of that deep happiness, nobody can give you that and nobody can take it away if it's real, if it's yours. And this reorientation of our whole way of looking at the world, our whole way of thinking is, wait. If I'm angry, it's, I'm angry. Nobody can make me angry. Oh, if I'm happy, I'm happy, and nobody can take that away from me. And if we think somebody's affecting our happiness, I'm going to tell you right now, I've learned the hard way, because I married a man who I thought for almost 40 years was responsible for me not being happy, right? But I believed Kriyananda when he said, it's not about him. It's that my inner happiness wasn't strong enough to be stronger than his fear or sadness. And so you're not responsible. You're not responsible. You're only responsible for you. And I don't know about, I that's all I've got to say. I'm just repeating myself. I think I've said it as many different ways as I can at this point. But I think you're feeling it for the first time that maybe it isn't your fault.
Yes.
You've been carrying this since I've known you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we can let that go. Put it down. Yeah. Anybody else? Any thoughts? Any?
So, in rewriting my story of being angry and upset, and I don't think this is surprising, but when I lose that, there's so much deep sadness for accepting the reality that is. And so part of me feels like that's so hard to bear, that sadness. And then there's this other voice that comes up that when I feel that sadness, it almost feels like a betrayal to myself, if that makes sense. Like, if I'm feeling sadness for this other person, then where is the space for me and like the legitimacy of my feelings? I don't know if that makes sense to anyone, but I feel like there's different voices inside of me kind of like battling for what emotion is the right one to feel through all of this.
Is there a right emotion? What if we're developing the capacity to hold lots of different emotions? And not one of them is right. They're just there. They're authentic. Mm-hmm. Is that possible?
Yeah.
The sadness is, I mean, Jesus, that's one of the big ones, isn't it? And it's so uncomfortable that sadness turns into anger. It turns into hardness. It turns into withdrawing. It turns into numbness. It turns into all kinds of other things to avoid feeling the sadness. And so the fact that you were able to even right now identify that deeply, and you know, that's yeah. So what if I say, this is possible because of all the work you've been doing. And I know it's not fun and I know it's uncomfortable. I say this to all of you, right? But there's, you know, did you see the relief? Could you feel the relief on Lisa? This is where we're going. And so we've developing little by little the skill, the strength to just be with it. To not call it right or wrong. And we come through. It's a mystery, but so I want to be on your team. We're all on your team to just be with it. Be with it. It's like I read a little poem this morning. I can't remember. It was one of those really short ones. But basically the thought was, you know, when it feels like the ground is falling out from under you, which is what it feels like when we're sad, which is like Kathleen's feeling like with this, wait a minute, what? But when the ground is falling out, you know, it could just mean that you're learning to fly. You know? And it feels different. It feels unknown. Is there anything else, Kelsey? I don't want to leave you hanging.
No, I think it's just like some part of me needs to know that there's space for me too. Mm-hmm. Feeling for other people.
I What do you mean by that?
I think it's like this fear that if I'm feeling sadness for my brother, that like I'm not allowed to have my emotional experience and like reactions to the things that he did or that happened. It's like if I'm feeling sad for him, that I must eliminate that sadness that I'm allowed to feel because I'm feeling it for someone else.
Oh. Is it possible that the sadness you perceive that you're feeling for your brother is your sadness for you? I'm going to just put this out here. Take it with a grain of salt. But try it on. Sadness is about us. Compassion is about the other person. Sadness is about us. So maybe it is part of your wrapped up with the anger and the resentment and the blame, all these other things, and the hurt is there's a sadness for you in there. And we're not necessarily, we might be recognizing his sadness somewhere. When we try to flush out the story, we're not feeling his sadness. We're recognizing his sadness. There's a subtle distinction there. Is that, try that on. Try that on and see what you come to with that. Okay? That's a big question. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so let's very tenderly, let's just be really tender here. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back, and I'm going to guide you through the ritual. And believe me, after all this, the ritual is not going to be, it's going to be anticlimactic because you've all done so much pre-work here. So when you come back, we'll take a few minutes to orient you in your room. I am going to ask you to do it standing up. We are starting it on a full moon. I think the full moon is today or tomorrow. And is it today, Kathleen? Yeah. In your handout, I said it's traditional to start on the new moon and go to the full moon. You do it for 2 weeks every day. I like to do it on the full moon and go to the new moon, because full moon to new moon is letting go. With that, it's like, this is the fullness and I'm just releasing it. I'm letting it go. And when I get to the new moon, it's gone. It's done. Okay. And so I'm going to offer you and encourage you to just do the practice today. And if you want to continue it for 2 weeks till the new moon in Libra. Okay. Let's see what you think. I mean, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. But, okay. So when we come back, we're going to figure out where your north, south, east, west is, where you are. And if you don't know, you know, your phone generally has a compass on it. And if you don't know, then I'll give you another way to just, you know, imagine it. Actually, I think it's in the handout, but I don't want you to use the handout during it. If you want to, you know, it's not sacred, fold it to the words, but I'm going to be saying the words and you can repeat them after me. And I'd rather you were in the process than, you know, trying to read it. Does that make sense? 10 minutes? Should we come back at, let's come back at 5 after. It's 7:02. Let's come back at 5 after the hour. Give you a chance to take a breath, kind of foom. And then, Ramon, if you're in a house with other people, are you going to be okay to do this there?
Yeah, I had, there were kids here before. That's why I kind of stepped out for a second. But it looks like I have the door locked now, and I think it may get noisy, but I think I'll be okay.
Noisy is fine. Locked is good. Yeah. We just don't want somebody walking in on you in the middle of this, right? By the time you're done, you're going to be okay, but.
Yeah, now that happened 2 times as we were talking. That's why I just like got up and closed the door. So yeah, but thank you for asking.
All right. Okay, loves. Come back at 5 after and we'll do the technique.